Okay, go ahead.
The way I understand it now is more than I understood before, that it's the generation of Christians, not from when we were saved and when Jesus died on the cross until now. That's the generation he's talking about, I believe.
All right, you've got a almost 2,000-year generation.
Yep.
Do we also have what shall we call it, a 70 or 80-year generation from 1948 until now? Because
There is that.
that's when the fig tree began to blossom, was 1948. If the fig tree is Israel. Where's those that might believe that side?
To me, the fig tree, Israel would be the natural fig
The
tree.
natural fig tree, right.
But us believers are the spiritual fig tree. And I also think when Jesus was telling about the things that were going to be witnessed, he said, "This generation now shall not pass away." The generation he'd be talking about would be the generation that's witnessing those things he was talking about. Which that's what we're witnessing right now with all these things that have been going on. So we're that generation. And I also want to say one little thing about Jesus cursing the fig tree. I know I've said this before, but not everybody was on back then. What really helped me understand that story in the Bible was two things. One of them is, did Jesus ever do anything wrong? Of course he didn't. And the fact that the scripture said the time of figs was not, that meant it wasn't the time of year for figs to be ripe. So was it the tree's fault that there was no figs on it? I mean, a fig tree just produces fruit at a certain time. So the fact that it pointed out that the time for figs was not really gave me a clue, because Jesus wouldn't do anything wrong and it wasn't the fig tree's fault. So now we know there was another meaning to it. And the meaning to me was Jesus was showing us that when he comes back, if you're not producing fruit, you're going to be burnt up like all the other dry sticks.
Did you finish?
Yes,
Oh.
I was finished. Just as I finished, everything froze up.
Well, it came from our side, I think. Generation. There we are. Are we back? something here in this word on the fig tree, something here I believe clearly refers to our generation, my generation, where we are right now. Whether that's a 40, 70, 80 year generation or a spiritual generation that goes for 2,000 years, something here refers, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I found something.
What?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was the curse on the fig tree the curse against the Jews up until the time of the temple?
I think it referred to the fact that right then and there, they were not bearing fruit. That this house shall be left unto you desolate. It's like saying this fig tree is desolate. It's dead now.
Howard, that curse is on all those that have rejected Jesus Christ from then until now.
I agree with that, but he was cursing the fig tree, and when they came back, it was dead. And that was the old Jewish ways. Possibly.
Yeah.
I'm not 100%. I'm just sort of questioning that.
Their old order of Judaism was dead.
And that would be the lower level in the spirit. That, yes, it was that. But also the higher level, it will be all those that have rejected Jesus Christ.
Mark, I want to point something out, that generation is now 76 years old to 116, a 40-year generation. And in just maybe 10 years, that generation will predominantly be passed away from the earth, especially in nations that have a low life expectancy. So that just shows how late the hour is.
Right. That's thank you for Marty for pointing that out. We are at the end of that generation. And he said that this generation, we're talking about our generation, shall not pass until everything that he said was going to come to pass. And that included, by the way, his second coming, which didn't happen in 70 AD. I don't know how you can have such a deception as to believe. Where did they ever come up with that idea that Jesus came in 70 AD? With all that, well, it's going to be bloody. We're coming very close to this 3.5 year tribulation that's about to begin. Can I read another little thing? I found something that Brother Bert had written in 2015. It's about Brother DeSeal and his what he believed about the coming of the Lord. Are we all in agreement? I can read this? Okay. Dear brethren, there is a thought the Lord has brought to me one morning that I want to record. When Brother DeSeal was sent to the U.S., there was one underlying theme that was the thread that ran through the entirety of the message of the 50 years of ministry, especially those of us who lived in the U.S. at the time and still do. It was a theme of destruction. Well, I read you what destruction happened, and it was real. It was real. It was not imaginary. Amen. The Lord spoke to him, I will send you to the people of the USA just before the destruction of the United States. Brother DeSeal had no thought that in the time frame of just before would be a time frame of 50 or more years. As to God, however, the 50 plus years is but a beep on the scope of God's time. When 1,000 years is but a day, it is possible at the time Brother DeSeal did not fully comprehend that the just before did not pertain necessarily to his generation of humanity that he himself was a part of, but it was referring to the generations unto which he was to be sent. We're younger than him. Amen? If I fully understand what the Lord is saying to me, there can be as many as 3 or 4 generations running concurrently at the same time. Amen? Well, there's at least 3 running in my time. In fact, there's a few remnants yet of my father's generation sort of still lingering on. Okay? When generations are configured upon the basis of people within a delineated population who experience the same significant events within a given period of time. For the same sake of explanation, let me give a hypothetical illustration. Let us say that my generation, taking it from the time I was born, would be in some respects a post-war generation. Well, I was actually born before we went into the war, but during the war, okay? But at the time I was born, there was a generation that was already in existence that would run concurrently with my generation, reaching quite possibly up into the 2000s, which is where we are now. With this thought in mind of concurrent generation running simultaneously together, there is an actuality in my generation, 2 or more generations that are running together, my children as well as my children's children, all of which were present during the time frame of Brother DeSeal's generation. The conclusion that I make at this moment of time, which is subject to change as the Lord makes this thought clear concerning this word that was delivered to us by Brother DeSeal, is not as to the year it will happen, but in what generation it is appointed to come to pass. The other thing that is paramount here is that if the word that was given Brother DeSeal was indeed from the Lord, then it indeed must come to pass in one of these concurrent generations that were in existence over the span of his lifetime of ministry. Those individuals that were present at the time of his delivering the word and who have in some manner or another been affected by that word. My personal position of belief at this time is that it must manifest within my generation, or at the very latest, the generation of my grandchildren. My next question should be, if this is indeed the fact of the matter, what will my next step or action be in reference to the word of God that has been delivered to me? And this is Brother Asbill had written this. Well, the point here is we're very close to something. I'm claiming that as my generation. I'm claiming to be in the natural generation, even of the putting forth of the leaves of the fig tree of natural Israel.
But Mark,
yes.
What did you read from?
An email letter that Brother Bert had sent out from Preaching Beyond Words in 2015, December 11. The subject was A Word and a Prophecy. I don't know who all it went to. It doesn't say on this. It's an email. I don't know why I saved it. I printed it off and saved it, and I put it in a file, and I just found it the other day.
Okay. Is it possible for us to have it?
Pardon?
Is it possible for somebody to have it posted or sent to us?
Look at it. Yeah, I can. I probably can't go and find this in my laptop anymore, but I can scan it. I could scan it and make it an attachment and send it to you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
If I can find the email, by the way, I will. But boy, I've got 1,000 emails in my maybe more than 1,000. Maybe I can find it. I found the hard copy is what I found.
You could also just take a picture of that with your phone, Mark, and then send it by email to him.
I'll tell you what, though, my scanner works better than my phone. It would pick everything up. Oh, Rita's telling me there's ways to do it. She's better with using the phone for a camera than I am. I'm still back on cameras.
Hello, well, Mark can hear.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, the teaching today has brought a lot of I mean, there's some things going through my mind. When we talk about the generation of Christ, I have thought of the 42nd generation to mean the people after Christ. We have seen 14 generation. Now the generation that Jesus is mentioned stops at 13. I did the counting myself also, and I came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ will produce himself in the earth through the church, like we are now gathered. That have been my expectation of John that will carry on and fulfill the ministry of the Christ, finish up the work that Jesus has begun, that we shall be mighty on the earth here, that Christ's generation shall overcome death, overcome sin, overcome Satan while we are here on this earth. Not talking about before Jesus comes physically. We believe in the secret coming of the Christ into our souls to purge his temple of iniquity, take us away from the traditions of our fathers, make us a people that he can dwell in and show off his own power on the earth. So that was what I believed in, or that's what I believed in as the 42nd generation. So the evil that we see today, the devastations and all that, I am expecting that when that generation of Christ is matured, has fully come to to the earth, we shall be able to stop this wars. We shall be able to bring the government of Christ to the earth. That is what I believe in the generation of the Christ, the first generation that must be shown on the earth. How about that?
In other words, the generation of sonship. Can I sum it up with that one word?
Yeah, correct.
Sons of God. Sons of Christ. So sonship means that we are like him. We are in conformity to him. That would be the 14th generation then, the third of the 14th.
Yes, the third of the 14th.
That's why it was making me think that the 14th generation is the Christians after Christ, because it's up until the time of Christ. Christ's death was the fulfillment of that. After that, it was the Christians. That's the 14th generation. That's kind of what I'm seeing this all coming to. And that's why I'm saying that the generation's going on for 2,000 years. I might not be right. I'm just, that's sort of what's in my head from this message.
Yeah. Yeah. You're also right insofar as the 11th chapter of Hebrews, Howard. Let me just read a couple verses here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, because we're part of that same company. Amen. Therefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race set before us. In other words, they are not, where's the verse? They are not complete without us. So yes, they make up a spiritual generation, but I'm looking also, I believe there's a natural generation too in this.
Mark, you know, it speaks about a chosen generation, which is what Howard is speaking about. Which
yeah.
Is that spiritual generation in Christ. But then it speaks about a generation that shall not pass away or die before all things are fulfilled, being a natural generation, a newborn babe in 1948 that saw Israel become a nation, up to, say, someone maybe 70 years old, is that generation, the natural generation that shall not pass away, which is now, what, 76? If you went out to a 70-year lifespan, that generation is now 76 to 130, well, no, let's see, okay, 136 years old. The generation that saw Israel become a nation, a newborn babe in 48 till now. So what's left of that generation? I would say 95% of that generation has already passed away. So how close are we to the return of Christ? It's at the door. There's no question. It's a sure thing. So in essence, there's two different generations, the spiritual chosen generation that Howard's speaking of, and then there is this natural generation that will be still alive, a portion of it. Well, Mark, you're part of that generation. Because a newborn babe till now is what, 76 years old from 48 till now. That's the youngest of that generation, 76 years old. So how close are we to the return of Christ in the great tribulation? It has to be at the door for this prophecy to come to pass.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Howard. Blessing.
Bless you, brethren. Praise God. I'd like to look at an aspect with us. Mark chapter 9, from verse 1. First of all, I would like to ask a confirmation that whether this scripture is related to these ones we are discussing. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, we shall not see, not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and lifted them up into an high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. This some standing, we shall not see death. Are they, in a way, related to this generation that shall not pass away? It's a question. The answer could help me to go on or just stop.
It's always a little hard to understand your African brother's accent, so sometimes I'm not sure if I hear everything right, but I think what you're saying is this generation that would not pass away, when he said seeing the kingdom of God come, he was referring to him coming to the earth. Here he was right now. You're seeing the kingdom of God right before your very eyes. So those people are the ones that saw that before they passed away.
Okay. In the form of that transfiguration, is that what you're saying, please?
Not necessarily in the transfiguration, just in the actual Christ being born and being on this earth, they saw the kingdom of God. There's scripture okay. that talks about that.
So is that related then to the generation that shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled?
No.
Well, I think that generation, those who were standing there with him, when Christ was crucified and shed his blood, the fullness of the kingdom was then made available. He became the final sacrifice that God would accept. And the price was paid then for the redemption of humanity that was no longer to be bound by sin, but now had the victory over Satan. So that was the beginning of the kingdom. And, you know, Jesus defined that kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is not something you're going to see with your eyes, but it's the kingdom is within you. It's the life of Christ now that can be within the soul of every man. That is the coming of the kingdom. You know, when I was young, I had no idea what the kingdom of God was. I was in college. I have no idea what it was. And there it was in plain print on page. The kingdom of God is within you.
Yes.
One little thing about the kingdom of God, you know, when you, the word kingdom means a king's domain. That means the aspect that king has rule over. So the kingdom of God is the kingdom that God has rule over. And that's us.
I'm also thinking, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I used to think that this scripture here, Luke 9:27, what I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. I think a good aspect of that is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because a lot of them that were hearing him partook of what happened in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And that was a very strategic, you know, coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of them didn't die. They partook of that coming. So I in my own understanding, I think that there's a special reference here to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I may be wrong, but
Amen. That's exactly what Brother Lucio said when I was listening to his message.
Confirmation from Romans 14:17. I think so. Said the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I think the coming of the Holy Spirit ushered in the kingdom of God officially.
So in essence, then, we can go back to our pattern of the tabernacle, and I think you'll find this in Brother DeCiel's book as well. You're not really in the kingdom until you get into the holy place. You're qualified to enter, but you're not really in. And the entering in, of course, is the death of self. I remember the one line, the quote, only dead men enter in to the holy place. The holy place. So this whole business of sonship is a whole lot more complicated than you thought it was, wasn't it? Isn't it? There's a whole lot more to it than the simple repent and be baptized and that's it. It's simple, but it's a mystery. And he told the disciples, he said, to you, this is revealed. To them who had the hard hearts, it's not revealed. And I think he was actually protecting them, because if it had been revealed and they would have rejected it, they'd have been in more trouble.
A little touch also, I was coming, as we continue to, it's something that we need to investigate and look at it again and again. But the thought I want to drop is that a generation is not a bang. It's not a bang of a one day. A generation is like a time lag. The natural for Jesus was for 3.5 years. And within the period, you know, he was born, he had the situation with Herod, and then the temptations with the Pharisees and all those things that went, and then the betrayal and then the crucifixion. And then he's coming you know, bring, you know, resurrection and coming up in glory. So a generation, you know, has different stages. You know, so I must find out where am I in my generation. You know, at what stage am I in, and be able to make a response that will please God based on the time frame of that generation. We could see a man like Brother Paul. He made a very peculiar statement that we that are alive and remain will not prevent them. And he was speaking about, you know, at that time, he was saying that we were alive. So that was an end that Paul was looking at. But Paul has passed on. You know, and we could say the same thing, that we that are alive and remain. You know, so in a generation, I believe that Paul made it, you know, just to say that a generation has a beginning, has a middle, has an end. So it's a time frame that we're looking at. It's not a one-off thing. I don't know what I mean in any sense. I'm trying to communicate what's in my heart. Praise God.
Praise God. I also see the word generation to refer to a lineage. So the generation of vipers as the lineage of vipers, the generation of the wicked, referring to the lineage of the wicked. So a generation in that sense, or lineage, can trace for a very long time. The generation of the wicked has spanned years and years, and is still on, and is going to go on until the final destruction of it. Now, the generation of Jesus Christ is what we see in Matthew chapter 1, and that's the lineage of Jesus Christ. So the way I see it is that Jesus is saying that heaven and earth, verse 32 of Luke 21. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. That is talking about his generation will not pass away, and we are all part of that generation. And he goes on to say, heaven and earth shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And the word goes with the generation. This is the generation that has this word that he's speaking. And he runs down and he immediately begins to warn them about the things we now see. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time, so that there will not be a time when men say, well, that generation has passed away, and let's begin to be so and so. And that is what has happened to many in this very time and hour. Many have looked and they say, oh, come on, it's been quite some time. That generation must have passed. Therefore, they began to be overcharged with surfeitings and drunkenness, and cares of this life are taking over the people that are supposed to truly be the people of God. And he says that day come upon you unawares. So it's a generation that shall continue, and those who misunderstand it will be ensnared. Pray always. So that we won't say it's over. Pray always that he may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. So the way I have believed, God will make it clearer to me, has been that this generation is the generation of Jesus Christ, which shall not end until the full manifestation, fullness of his kingdom comes forth. Because of his government, there shall be no end. So that generation begins and will never end until all things be fulfilled, all these things come to pass. I don't know whether I didn't understand well. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus' prophecy had a natural side to it, as well as a spiritual side. And those who even took the natural side, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, head for the hills, get out of Dodge. And those that did, I believe, were saved. But you see, the rebellious hearts of many of them is, no, we can beat the Romans. It's time for us to throw that yoke off our back. But they did not realize that their cup of wickedness had now come to the full. And I can hardly imagine. You know, you try to imagine there are things that God hates. Said he hates Nicolaitanism, for instance, but he had to hate the substitute of these animals, thinking, you know, in making naught of the blood of Christ that had been shed already, the most precious thing that God could give. And here they continue for 40 more years, it's, shall we say, thumbing their nose, thumbing their nose in the face of God, as mocking God. And there comes a point where he won't take it anymore. The cup is full. It's the filling of a cup. And when you look in Revelation, maybe we should go there again. The cup of Babylon, full, almost full. Every time I think it's full, I see something more that's been added to the cup. Now the Methodist Church has declared that they will ordain sinners to be their clergy, and will bring them in to the church and make them brethren with them. Cup is getting full, almost full, ready to run over, to be poured out, actually. What I read to you that Josephus had written, that was the pouring out of the cup of God's wrath. There didn't need to be anybody in Jerusalem. If they had listened to what Jesus said, when you see the armies, get out. They could have got out. The Romans would have let them out. But they wanted to stay and they wanted to fight. And they thought that they had the favor of God. They did not hear what Jesus said. Your house is left unto you desolate. There's nothing left in your house that is of the favor of God or that God will defend anymore. And you know, if you get over into Revelation 12, the outer court, at that point, there is nothing of that outer court that God can defend anymore in the natural. They can be saved insofar as their salvation, but their house is going to be destroyed. Well, amen. End times. We're living in the end times. So I suppose we can bring it to a close today. Maybe somebody would like to ask the blessing, and we'll shut the recording off.
Thank you.
Head. Okay. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. You said that if you look at, if you see these things, you said, what manner, seeing that these things are going to be dissolved. There are things that are working. The system of the world seem to be working very well. United Nations and all the nations are doing, making laws and laws, and things are working. But you said that this thing shall be dissolved. He said, what manner of men ought ye to be in unholy conversation and godliness? And as we look at these things, somehow it looks complicated. Lord, we are praying that the response that we needed to make, there's a response that every man has to make. He said to people that they didn't understand their coming. My God, we are praying that you will help us to be able to understand the day of our visitation. There's a visitation that you are bringing unto us today. And Lord, we pray that we'll be able to understand that visitation and apply our hearts to it. So that our houses will not, there are some that their own day and their houses were left desolate. So we pray that, Lord, as we go from here, that your word, oh God, that there be a chewing, that the energy that you are bringing to us will be able to have its full effect in our souls. I will be able to respond, oh God, to you, Lord, in holiness, in righteousness, in seeking you, that Lord God will not be caught unawares, dear Lord. That Lord, at the midnight, as that cry, oh God, intensifies, that there be oil in our lamps and oil in our vessels. We bless you, our Father. We just pray that you will keep us, oh God, in you. Thank you, oh God, for you said that as we see that day, that we should provoke one another unto love and good works. May we be indeed provoked, O God, hallelujah, to press on. Grant us that we will endure to the end. That as you come, instead of when I come, will I find faith upon the earth? And you will find us watching. You will find us waiting. Whatever it is to watch and to wait, may we be found in that place, watching and waiting, O God, for the revelation of Christ in our souls and in the earth. We thank you, oh God. We pray that you will keep every one of us in the days to come, oh God. Keep our hearts in you. Keep our minds stayed upon you, oh God. Keep our expectations on you, dear Lord. Bless us, we pray, and keep us. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.